The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Oxford word of the year. Isn't Oxford supposed to be smart? Isn't Oxford supposed to be one of the most widely respected universities / dictionaries in the world? And here the word of the year is brain rot. I suppose that speaks to the promulgation, the wide promulgation of brain rot and how widespread it is across all levels of society. Yeah, social media is supposed to be issuing warnings for kids because of the way the algorithms are built, because of the way social media operates, with the distinct purpose of sucking you in and keeping you sucked in. That's where the brain rot comes in, is the mindless scrolling, the endless staring at your screen. It's harmful to children. We know that for sure. There are studies done. It's science. I know not all studies and not all science are valid, but at least right now, there are some very real markers, and there is plenty of evidence that would indicate that social media, the way it targets children, is not healthy and can produce some perceptions about society that are not true. And as young people, they don't know enough. They don't know what they don't know, right? They don't know enough to be able to distinguish and distinguish works well, but they don't know enough to be able to separate what's real and what isn't. And I often say that social media is neither social nor actual media, and yet it has taken the place of both of those things, right? And COVID exacerbated that because we were more connected online than we ever were before by necessity, but it has really almost tried to take the place of actual face-to-face communication. I ran into this when I wasn't married, of course, because I was in the dating pool, quote unquote, for a long time. And what I found is that there are fewer and fewer, in my case, males, who were capable of carrying on a conversation if it wasn't over social media or over text. And then when you would get that person face to face, if it got to that point, and that's where ghosting came in, right? Ghosting is now extremely popular. It's something I despise about communication electronically, is that you can disappear in a way that you can't if you're face to face. Similar to how people can post on social media the type of vitriol they would never say to someone's face, but you have this built-in barrier where you can't be held accountable. And so in dating, you not only have people who make all kinds of promises or would appear to be one thing that they're not, and then they can disappear because there's this electronic kind of fake, it's a fake relationship, but it's a fake sense of security. It's a fake sense of intimacy over the phone. And then you get those people in person and they're nothing like what they purported to be over their social. Not to mention that's dangerous, right? Because you've got people who are pretending to be something they're not in order to lure children and others into nefarious types of activities and to trap them, essentially. So social media, it definitely is the major change in over the course of my career that I've had to adjust to, but it's also a little scary. And I think the acknowledgement by Oxford that brain rot is the word of the year. In other words, that it's more widespread than it's ever been and it's happening all the time. And I think that should be yet another big warning flag. But we want to provide entertainment, not rot to your brain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also, we want you to think more because the motto for this show, not my motto personally, though I guess it would apply. The motto for this show is when people talk, good things happen. So we're talking and we hope good things happen, whether it's connection, entertainment, laughter, escape, release, whatever it is. Maybe you get angry and you yell things at the radio. That's fine too. Just don't throw it or your phone because then you wouldn't be able to listen and get angry all over again. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which is next hour here on the show. You can do that on our show Twix at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. Or if you too would like a personal connection with producer Pete, you can call up and tell him that you've got a question for Ask Amy Anything.
Right.
You've got a few minutes left in which you can show your support for a particular touchdown. We're wrapping up a Touchdown Tuesday, and no joke, 3 weeks from tonight, it's Christmas Eve.
Please stop reminding me.
But it's supposed to be an exciting thing, is it not?
I'm excited for it, but I'm not ready for it.
I just can't believe how quickly it's coming, that we're already in the first week of December now. And we were planning initially to get a Christmas tree and to put it up right after Thanksgiving. But because of the dog and family and just some other things happening, we haven't done it yet. And now my husband's going out of town from Saturday morning early until Tuesday evening late. He's going to be gone for 4 days. So if we wait until after he comes back, not only are we inside of a week until our 1 year anniversary, which kind of takes some of the days off the calendar, but also we're leaving just a week and a half after that to be gone in Texas for the holidays. And so I guess we could leave the Christmas tree for the house sitter. She can water the Christmas tree, but I don't do fake trees. He's never had a real tree. So this was supposed to be our first real tree together. And now we're joking that we're just going to go outside and cut down a bush on our own property, not someone else's, although maybe the neighbors because of their stupid light, just like saw off a piece of a bush and have a Christmas Charlie Brown tree.
Well, I would maybe cut a tree down and maybe that'll knock down the light.
By cutting a tree down?
Yeah.
How? Wait, I guess I didn't follow that. I'm sorry.
Find one that's near the light.
Oh.
And cut it.
Well, it's my trees that are near the light. Unfortunately, yeah, they don't cover up the light. But would you like the update on the light?
The light. Let there be light.
On Wednesday, maybe, in my town, the next planning board meeting. And the way that it works, because Joe, our friend Joe, is a stickler for details and a stickler for rules. He's a rule follower, I tell you. He told my husband, so we had to pay the balance on our room, the permits that we used to build our new laundry room. By the way, it's very well lit up because it's on the back of the house. So the light next door, just it shines in every corner and nook and cranny of the new room.
Basted chicken.
Yeah, we don't even need lights in the new room because it's lit up by next door. Anyway, so much for stargazing out the back. But we had to communicate with Joe and pay off the balance on the room and the permits. And he told my husband that this is how they have to do it. Now they're putting it on the schedule again for the planning board meeting because they have to write another letter to the neighbor because nothing has happened. So they put it on the planning board agenda. Then another group, they'll come out again. They've already been out to our house once to see the light at night. They have to come out again. Not that they don't believe us that the light isn't turned off, but they have to see it for themselves and know that the light is still shining as brightly as it has been for the past 4 months. And then they write another letter to the neighbor, in which case the neighbor is essentially given a second warning. You need to cover up the light or change the light, which then, as you were right, you told us it could be like 30 days or more.
Damn.
By the time that letter gets to the next door neighbors, it'll be at least another, I would say, week and a half. So we're talking about a week before Christmas, which means he may do nothing. There's probably not a planning board meeting again until January, which then means we're talking about another month or so. So I'm going to have to warn the house sitter, like, hey, maybe bring an eye patch or a couple of eye patches and eye covers so that you don't see the lights. We had company the last 2 weeks, actually. My nieces were in town. We went to see a Broadway show. And then my new brother and sister-in-law were spending Thanksgiving week with us. And thankfully, they didn't, I don't want to say they didn't notice because they noticed, but they didn't have trouble sleeping. They're on the far side of the house in the far front corner, which is the furthest point away from the obnoxious light. But seriously, every single night when my husband goes to bed and I'm getting my stuff and getting ready for work, we're blown away by the fact that effing thing has been shining for 3+ months now. And the guy even got a notice from the town and tried to protest that he changed the light bulb. And Joe told him, it doesn't matter. You're not allowed to have that kind of light. And we've told him, he didn't change the light bulb. Nothing has changed.
You know, he doesn't realize that if he just changed the light bulb, this would have been over months ago.
Well, kind of. The thing is, the light has no cover on it, which I've mentioned before. So let's just say he changed the wattage on the bulb. The white light, that LED light, is still shining unimpeded into our room and onto the back of our house. So yeah, it's depressing. I try not to think about it too much because I actually can get obsessive over it and get so frustrated and start asking the what ifs. What if he never, like, what if he refuses to change the light? He'd rather pay the fine. And I know the town will continue on, but it could be 6 months, right? And as I've told you before and mentioned, I knew this was going to happen because it's a dusk to dawn light. It now comes on before 4:30. The light is shining before 4:30 in the afternoon and it stays on until after 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. It's as ridiculous as the golden at bat proposal in Major League Baseball.
They're about the same in terms of being ridiculous. Mm. They're both very ridiculous.
Every now and then, the Hubs will mention the BB gun and how it's still a possibility if I'll allow him to do it. I figured our first anniversary and our second Christmas as a married couple, it better he not spend it in jail. So maybe he can wait until right before we leave. So could you imagine, we're getting ready to leave for our Christmas break. We've got the dogs in the car. We've got whatever else we're taking with us. Princess Leia's all packed up. And then he takes the BB gun or the pellet gun, pops the light, and then we take off. Like we were never there. It wasn't us. We weren't there.
The bandit right out the door.
Oh my gosh. It's unbelievable.
Maybe the house sitter could do it.
Well, right. Except then the house sitter might end up in jail and we would have no house sitter while we were gone.
Before the house sitter
leaves. Sugar needs some company.
Before the house sitter leaves.
Right. We'll see.
We'll see tomorrow night.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, I want to move now. I want to move.
I want them
to move.
I told you.
I know it's that frustrating.
Moving.
It's that, right. It's gotten to that point where it's just so galling and it's so disheartening that I'm ready to move, which I guess I could make money on my house because it's escalated in value, but I don't know where we'd live. I don't really want to live in a tent. That would be worse.
that second part of that is, yes.
It'd be cold and it'd be worse.
Anyone can sell a house these days.
Where do you go?
Where do you go?
Exactly. Although I will admit it was tempting. I saw a huge house for rent in my neighborhood. Probably it costs more to rent it than my mortgage. But and I'm on a fixed rate, which is nice before the pandemic hit and the inflation. But so I was tempted. I was thinking, like, oh my gosh, it's three streets and a half a mile away from that ridiculous light. We might be far enough that we don't see it anymore. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now coming up, we're going to talk about the wrinkle in time in the college football playoff rankings with conference championship weekend on the horizon. Why is Alabama ranked above Miami? We will answer that question, but a couple of you want to talk about this ludicrous, asinine, completely redonkulous idea of a golden at bat where Aaron Judge could hit fourth and then he could hit sixth just for fun. Why not? Brandon's in Chicago. Brandon, what do you think?
I could doctor some satellite photos where the glare could be seen from space.
Nice.
Other than that, I just want to say what you said about the soul of baseball. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, with them enabling the steroid. Not only what's worse than that is they threw all the participants under the bus afterward.
Mm-hmm. True.
I just find the whole organization to be unholy, and I just don't think it's something that should be preserved, because I think it's way past that.
So does it help at all that this current administrator, the commissioner, is not the guy who presided over the steroid era?
No.
Okay.
Not to me. I don't even care about baseball anymore. But mm-hmm. It's just a point from someone who's kind of disgusted with the history of the game.
Gotcha. Well, I would agree with you that baseball has made many missteps, and I also agree with you that once everything was exposed about the PED era and the steroid era, baseball tried to make a big show of cleaning it up and hanging out to dry those who were known PED users, when in actuality, there were hundreds more who were using PEDs that just never got caught. And so how many times did Barry Bonds face a pitcher who was juicing and maybe would have hit more home runs if not for the fact that that pitcher was juicing? So there's no way to remove the steroid era from the fabric of baseball. I do believe the game is cleaned up now and baseball has got a better policy. However, those guys should be in the Hall of Fame, because you cannot tell the story of baseball. You cannot preserve its history. Yeah, well, right, true, good point. And so I think baseball is in a better spot now in terms of the cheating. And again, that's a debate for a different time. But this, to me, feels like you're actually changing the game of baseball by adding this rule. What do you know from the time that you're a little leaguer? You can't bat out of order. You can't bat out of order. You bat out of order even as a kid who doesn't really know what's going on, and it's an automatic out.
Are they
going
to do a fourth out, fifth base?
A fifth base. Could you imagine a T at home plate?
I mean, they've manipulated equipment. I mean, if they wanted to, they could increase the dimensions of the ball by a millimeter, and it'd be only pitchers would probably guess that it's right. But they have manipulated equipment to try to, and now they lied about it and denied that they manipulated equipment.
Yeah, I know there definitely are a lot of things about baseball that rub people the wrong way, Brandon. I appreciate your phone call. Thanks so much for listening in Chicago. AM 670, The Score. And coming up next hour, a couple of the Bears players reacting on our Chicago affiliate to the firing of Matt Eberflus. And if you haven't read the explosive report about what was taking place in the locker room following their loss to Detroit, not so much that they lost, because remember, they were down 3 scores. Well, 2, I guess, technically. They were down 16 points at halftime, right? So that'd be 2 touchdowns and 2 two-point conversions. But they rallied, and then in that final minute, just spit the bit. Just what? That was a debacle. Even if they don't win the game, that bad taste set off ripple effects, not just at the top level of the organization with ownership, but inside the locker room as well, when Matt Eberflus stepped in to address them following the loss to the Lions. And now some players are speaking out after his firing. 855-212-4227. Our friend Chicago Johnny is in Las Vegas. How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, man, fantastic. I'm glad it's over. I ate too much.
Right, me too.
And I'm glad it's over. That's one part. One down. Now I've got to get through Christmas.
Yeah.
So, hope so. But 2 things I want to bring up to you real quick. All right. First of all head coaches and general managers, they go to the Chicago Bears so they can die.
Oh.
Right? Yes, they do. And I got examples. For the last 12 years, we've had 4 head coaches and 4 general managers. Now, where are they? Have any of them ever had another head coaching or a general manager job after they left the Bears? No, they haven't. Not one of them. And you can look it up. Not one. So head coaches and general managers, they go to the Bears so they can die.
That's kind of sad.
And it's the truth. Unfortunately, it's the truth. Because the last 12 years, we've had four coaches and four GMs, and we've never heard, and none of them have ever gotten a job on any other team.
The world has opened up and swallowed them whole. I will just say some of them, just to be fair, some of them are coaching in other places. They're just not head coaches.
But that's what I see. They're not head coaches, and they're not GMs.
Okay.
So my statement is true.
Yes. I just, for instance, Matt Nagy, it's not like the man disappeared, right? So Matt Nagy is still very widely respected in the NFL, and he's now the OC with the Chiefs, who are the two-time defending Super Bowl champs. So some would say that's a better job than Chicago Bears head coach.
Look why he's well-respected. Look who he is under.
Well, I think it's Andy Reid. Andy Reid hired him, yes.
Yes. So, and about this baseball thing, you know, the Major League Baseball commissioner is getting exactly what he wants. He is getting the media to talk about baseball right in the middle of football. It ain't ever going to happen, Amy. You know it. I know it. But he's getting what he wants. That for us, for the media to talk about baseball right in the middle of football. Would you agree with that?
But only to ridicule it, Johnny.
Well, I agree with that. So I agree with that. Hey, I make my debut on Monday.
Oh, I can't wait. You're going to have to tell us all about it, where we can find it, when we can see it.
Yeah. They're coming in Monday to shoot.
Awesome. That's so cool. I'm so proud of you. You make sure you stay safe.
I will. Trust me, I will.
Okay, good.
So you have a nice holiday, and I'll be in touch.
All right.
I'll be listening.
Merry Christmas to you. Happy movie season. It's our friend Chicago Johnny in Vegas, our favorite ever tour guide at the Mob Museum. And I've actually connected other people and told them to go see, they call him CJ, Chicago Johnny, at the Mob Museum in Vegas. We visited there during February and Super Bowl week. At A-Law Radio, but if you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page, YouTube channel, it won't give you brain rot. It might make you laugh. That's always tremendous. And coming up, inside the Bears organization, but also Bobby in Baltimore wants to weigh in too, so we'll get back to your calls, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Yeah, it's important to always have the pulse of the locker room and understand what's going on. Because, you know, the one thing that I can say is our players and our team, they've played extremely hard through adverse situations. You don't want a situation where that starts to crack and you don't see the same effort and the same energy. So we're always being aware of the environment and taking that into consideration.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Ryan Poles, who does keep his job as the general manager of the Chicago Bears, despite what is essentially a house cleaning of the coaching staff, even as there's an interim who, by the way, was the interim offensive coordinator, and now he is the interim head coach.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As he takes over, they have to have bodies on the sidelines, of course, to finish out the season. But the frustration boiled over following the Thanksgiving Day loss with the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. And it was Friday in a messy display by the front office when the Bears fired Matt Eberflus, didn't even want him to stick around through the rest of this regular season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. Online at Amy After Hours. If you'd like to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which comes up now just over an hour from now, and our Facebook page too. Now, there have been multiple reports out there about the locker room and what happened in the wake of that game on Thanksgiving Day, and the fact that there was chatter about the status of Matt Eberflus. But what really stood out is that the players themselves were so upset and just done with the number of close games in which mismanagement has played a role in them coming up short. So Eberflus had a record of 5-19 in one score games, meaning there's a common denominator. Eberflus and the management of those games in many cases is what stands out. That's the worst record in NFL history for a coach who's been in at least 20 of those types of games. 5-19 record in one score games. And so here is this game in Chicago, or game, I should say, against the Lions, in which they have a timeout. They have an opportunity to at least tie the Lions. And for some reason, not only do they waste time, so they're driving into Lions territory. They've got a potential for a game-tying field goal or potentially even a go-ahead touchdown. Caleb Williams, if you watch the game, you remember on Thanksgiving Day, he throws an incomplete pass after being sacked with about 30 seconds to go. He gets one more snap at it. It's an incomplete pass. Even though Chicago had one more timeout, the clock runs down, and they waste all of that time. You can snap the ball once, maybe twice more. You can get into field goal range. You might produce a tie. And so they get into the locker room and the reports indicate that players themselves are airing their frustrations. And that includes Jalen Johnson, who was talking about his role and that locker room on Thursday on our Chicago affiliate AM 670 The Score.
At the end of the day, this is not my first go around. It's not my first rodeo with firing and things like that. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a business. Guys get fired all the time, player, coach, GM. It happens. So, I mean, again, I don't necessarily feel like I was just some major part that played a role in getting him fired. I mean, that's not on me. But, I mean, at the end of the day, too, there was frustration. There was words from myself that I expressed just from my frustrations of losing. I mean, like I said, and part of what I said after the game is, I mean, I've been losing for 5 years. So, I mean, I feel like a high-level player like myself, after a certain point, losing games, how we've been losing games, somebody has to express something. And, I mean, for me, it was something that was a spur-of-the-moment thing, and it went the way it went at the end of the day.
AM 670, The Score in Chicago, Jalen Johnson, who, according to Courtney Cronin, she's an ESPN Bears reporter, she wrote that as Matt Eberflus is addressing the team with kind of coach speak after the loss, saying they didn't do enough to win, blah, 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 yada, 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 that Johnson actually interrupts him and starts yelling about his frustration. Not yelling at Eberflus specifically. That's not how it was termed. But that he interrupted and began shouting and was using choice words that we can't repeat here on the radio. But the fact that they were doing the same thing over and over again, same results over and over again, which is what he tells the Score. I've had enough of this. It's been 5 years. My frustrations, they erupted. It wasn't planned. I didn't know that I was going to do that. I was just tired of feeling this way. And again, according to Courtney, Eberflus just turned and walked out of the room. He stopped talking and that was it. And he walked out of the room. We also heard from DJ Moore on Mully and Haw following, again, this firing of Eberflus and some of the reports coming out of the locker room. And he was asked on the Score whether or not he was surprised by what happened with Eberflus.
No, the season was going, you just kind of figured that was going to happen. And then Thursday at the end of the game was the last straw, I feel like. And they did it, and now we got TB as the interim head coach, and we're going to go out there and play for him.
I kind of expected that it was going to happen. This was the last straw. And so they move forward with an interim head coach who is potentially going to be considered for the job, I guess, depending upon how it goes moving forward. But I wouldn't be surprised if they go in a completely different direction, only because this bad taste has been kind of a mess. The interim coach is Thomas Brown. He was already serving as interim OC, and now he's the interim head coach. Talk about quite the promotion. Escalated. What did DJ Moore hear from Ryan Poles about the hiring of the next head coach?
He just basically told me that we had already got out in the media before he even and called me. But he was just like, I'm just going to get this thing turned around, and a leader of men is going to be in here for the next coach.
A leader of men. That's what DJ Moore heard from Ryan Poles and tells AM 670 The Score. That's the morning show, Molly and Haw. So the Bears become the third team to fire a coach in season in 24, but the first time in their franchise history they've done this. That's how bad it had gotten. And that whole concept of losing a locker room, it's not something that you can essentially write a formula for. Like, this is how you know when a coach loses a locker room. But this one clearly had gotten to that point where what Eberflus was saying and the decisions he was making were not being well received. In other words, players were no longer bought in, and his messages are kind of falling on deaf ears because it was all talk and no walk, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Bobby is in Baltimore. Bobby, welcome to the show. Bobby. I don't think Bobby's sleeping because I don't hear any snoring. Though I suppose he could have
fallen asleep.
Oh, no, he just had us muted.
Okay, you there?
I work here, yes.
Oh, okay, Amy, question.
Yes.
I know I woke up out of a dream. Did you have a light? You said neighbors got a light that shines in your house, right?
So brightly.
Okay, question. Are you an HMO?
No.
HOA.
An HMO. Is that like a healthcare plan or something?
Okay, no. Your homeowners association. You
no, I don't live in a community.
But that's good.
No.
You're going to plant some grass. Okay.
What
you're going to do is you're going to plant some running bamboo. You make sure, listen closely. This is the important part. You make sure you get the root barriers.
All right.
You put the root barrier in a line between you and light. Okay.
Huh?
You plant the rub in a long run. Then you plant the bamboo that would cover the light as it grows. you can have anything growing on your property. If it encroaches on his, all he can do is cut it.
Right.
You are not responsible.
Uh-oh.
Okay? And because this I saw this online. The guy had the exact same situation. Went
really?
To the guy, talked to him. He was cool. He said he'd do something about it. Guy gave him a $20 bill for beer, and the dude didn't do it. He said, I changed my mind. So this is what he did. Put that root barrier down, and then put a long row of that stuff down, and now the dude had a long wall, like a fence of bamboo to cover it. And here's the petty revenge. It grows towards his house.
Nice. Oh,
and
that's perfect.
He's got to deal with it. And there's nothing that he can do to you. You're not responsible.
No.
Okay?
No
way, no how. And you're in Texas, I believe, correct?
No, I live in New Jersey. My family's in Texas, yeah.
Well, you might have to hang on to next spring. But the key to it is, if you hang on, you will not have light in your face next summer.
I wonder if I can plant just a full-grown bamboo and let it go from there.
Oh, you could try that. But how high is the light?
Oh, it's on the side of his, the top of his garage.
Top of his garage.
Yeah.
A-frame roof or flat roof?
No, it's a sloped roof.
Sloped roof. So that means it's pretty high, probably about 15, 16
Isn't
feet
Isn't that ridiculous?
Up.
That's what I mean. It shines directly into our second floor bedroom.
Well, technically, you're not really supposed to. See, I do construction.
Uh-huh.
Technically, you're not supposed to. You're responsible for the light where it shines. You're supposed to aim it
yes.
so it does not
right.
shine on your neighbor's property.
I know. That's the town rule. Well, first of all, this light is not allowed. It's a security light. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't have a cover on it, so it's actually violating town ordinance. But yes, as you point out, because of light pollution,
right.
he is responsible for keeping the light on his own property as much as possible, but it has no cover on it, which means it shines like the friggin' moon.
So he feels, that's why I heard you say something about you felt he might just pay the fines and keep on paying him.
Oh, just because he's belligerent and rude. We tried multiple times, multiple ways.
Hang on. Y'all just moved in his house, too, together.
Well, right. So my husband just moved in. I bought it in 2020.
Oh, happy marriage, too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But this is where I hate to see y'all move just because of this idiot.
And I
y'all
know.
Just getting started in your life together.
I know.
Hang tough. Richard okay. T, put some blackout curtains up. See, that's the key. A lot of drapes and stuff, people don't get the blackouts. My mom's got blackouts.
Mm.
You go in her bedroom, you can't tell whether it's day or night. I'm serious.
I like it. No, I know. I know you are.
These drapes trap everything. So you get some blackout drapes.
Mm.
You know, they cost a bit to get them. Hang on tough.
All right.
Get you some goddamn
refuse to move.
Like I said, and right. the root barriers.
Nice.
And next summer you will have a nice when you do your cookouts and stuff in the evening.
Shady.
You'll have a nice green wall.
That nice. I do like that idea. And bamboo does grow quickly. You're right about that.
Yes, ma'am. There you go.
All right, Bobby. Good to hear from you. Happy holidays.
Take care. Oh, one thing. I'm a Raven fan.
Yes.
Can you tell me? Well, I hate to see Tucker go.
I know.
But I think it's time.
No, I disagree with you. Actually, I'll talk about it.
He cost us two different games, straight up and down.
No, here's the thing. Here's why I disagree with you, Bobby. If you're playing for your kicker to win, your kicker to beat your opponent, then you're leaving way too many points out there on the field. This is the highest scoring offense in the NFL. They do not need to be reliant upon their kicker. However, I don't think the end is near for Justin Tucker, and I'll explain. When we talk about it next hour, Bill Belichick actually weighing in as well, because that's important. You know how much he loves the Ravens. thanks so much for your call. 855-212-4227. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Let's see. College football playoff rankings next. Why is Alabama above Miami? Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, and we're barring an upset in the ACC Championship game. Looks like Alabama's going to be playing in the college football playoff. Crimson Tide sit in the 11th spot just above Miami and Ole Miss for the non-conference winner spots. Now, Oregon remains on top, followed by Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, and Georgia. Ohio State dropped to 8 after the loss to Michigan. Hurricanes lost to Syracuse. Might have just cost them a chance at a playoff. Elsewhere, Michigan fired off its coordinator Kirk Campbell after one season as their play caller. NFL Texans linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair suspended 3 games for his hit on Trevor Lawrence, which left GM Nick Caserio unhappy with the way his player has been portrayed.
It's an unfortunate play. And again, going back to the first thing I said, the most important thing is the health and safety of our players. And I'd say the health and well-being of Trevor. And, you know, hopefully Trevor's going to be okay. But to speak on Azeez's intentionality about what he intended to do, some of the comments that have been made, quite frankly, it's embarrassing. So, like, we're going to support Azeez. We love everything about him. We're glad he's a part of this team.
NBA Cup final game of group play with the Mavericks looking to use a big fourth quarter to advance.
Ahead to Irving, to the right to Dinwiddie for a right wing three. Hit it! With a minute 39 to go, and the Mavericks in front, 113-111.
Spencer Dinwiddie with the go-ahead three. Luka Doncic, 37 points, 12 rebounds. Mavericks outscored the Grizzlies by 18 in the fourth for a 121-116 victory as they advance in the NBA Cup. Call courtesy of the Mavericks Radio Network. Rest your scores. The Bucks took Group B as they dismissed the Pistons 128-107. Knicks won Group A with a 121-106 victory over the Magic, but Orlando also advanced as well. Thunder took Group B in the West. They dismissed the Jazz 133-106. Nuggets able to outlast the Mavericks 119-115. Nikola Jokic, 38 points, 10 rebounds. Sixers erased the Hornets 110-104. Cavs dominate the Wizards 118-87. Clippers thumped the Blazers 127-105. Raptors dumped the Pacers 122-111. Scotty Barnes with 35. Suns took out the Spurs 104-93, but they lost Kevin Durant to a sprained ankle, and the Kings erased the Rockets 120-111. College hoops, Clemson stunned Kentucky 70-66. Tennessee rocked Syracuse 96-70. Michigan upset Wisconsin 67-64, and Villanova shocked Cincinnati 68-60. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Two tight ends, one to each side. Single setback. Haynes, quarterback keep. And there goes the quarterback. Touchdown, Alabama. Jalen Milroe, a 17-yard keeper. And the Tide adds to its lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Crimson Tide Radio with the call of recent Alabama game. And it's not gone the way that Nick Saban would have drawn it up, but it's been a really successful first year under Kalen DeBoer. though the Crimson Tide are sitting number 11 in the college football playoff rankings. Now, these are the second to last, the penultimate rankings that came out on Tuesday night. One of the major points of contention, depending upon which side you're landing, one of the major points of conversation, which is what the committee wants, trust me, kind of like baseball with this golden bat rule, is that Alabama is ranked one spot ahead of Miami despite having three L's. Okay, so the most egregious, I would say, the piece of evidence that people are pointing to is that the Tide lost to Oklahoma before Thanksgiving. Not a Sooners team that is in the playoff, a Sooners team that is 6-6, right? They're 500. They're nowhere near a conference championship, and this is part of the move to the SEC. So here's Alabama with three losses, including that one to an unranked opponent. Meanwhile, the Hurricanes, Miami, have just two losses, and the second one just happened by 4 points at Syracuse on, was it Saturday? It was Saturday, because I was at the gym and I was watching it. I was on the elliptical watching Syracuse and Miami. So Miami would end up being the first team left out of this new playoff because of the way that the rules dictate the fifth highest rated conference champion would likely jump Miami and would end up in the playoff while the Hurricanes are on the outside looking in. Okay, so neither Alabama nor Miami has a spot in a conference championship, meaning neither team can really gain any traction before the final rankings would come out next Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Ward Manuel, he's the committee chair. He does a weekly interview on ESPN after they reveal the rankings. So this is where we're getting the interview for, or the interview from, excuse me. And he was answering the question of why are Alabama and Miami ranked the way that they are with the Tide ahead of the Canes?
What it really came down to is Alabama is 3-1 against current top 25 teams, and Miami is 0-1. Alabama is 6-1 against teams above 500, and Miami's 4-2. Both have had some losses that weren't what they wanted out of those games. But in the last three games, Miami has lost twice. And so for us, in evaluating their body of work, we felt that Alabama got the edge over Miami.
Ward Manuel telling ESPN why Alabama is ranked ahead of Miami. You don't have to agree, but they're placing value on strength of schedule. And we have talked about this. Even going back before the expansion, one of the ways that they rate teams and separate teams who have similar records, how do you perform against teams that are ranked? Number one. Number two, how many of those teams do you have on your schedule? You earn extra brownie points, so to speak, for having top 25 teams that you have to face week in and week out. Bama is 6-1 against teams with winning records, 3-1 against ranked teams, whereas Miami does not have a victory over a ranked team on its schedule this year. Now, neither of these teams play this coming weekend. So how much can the rankings change for these two teams and overall?
Yes, it could change. It all depends on the outcome of these games. The commissioners have asked us to rank the top 25 through the conference championships, and that's what we intend to do.
Okay.
We have high regard, as I've said before, for those who are playing in those conference championships, and we will closely evaluate those games and the outcome of those games to rank the top 25.
But he did go on to say on ESPN that Alabama and Miami don't have new data points. They won't be able to reevaluate Alabama and Miami. Essentially, their rankings are stagnant. Now, could other teams move up or move down? Yes, but those two teams, they're going to be evaluated the exact same way because nothing will have changed by this time next week. So the final rankings before the playoffs begin, those come out next Tuesday. It's kind of a rite of passage now in early December. So when you think about biggest losers, Richard Johnson on CBS Sports HQ labeling his biggest loser.
My loser is Miami. I think Miami thought, and they've been politicking, like because we have double-digit wins, we still deserve to be in the dance. But the committee has just shown that, no, you're on the outside looking in. Every week, it did feel like Miami was kind of getting away with it. Yeah, they had a big win against Wake. but they struggled for a lot of that game. Had a big win against Duke. They struggled for a lot of that game. And then obviously it caught up with them against Georgia Tech, and it caught up with them against Syracuse on Saturday. And when your best win sits there in it's Louisville, and that's all we could speak of, maybe you count Duke if you want to be really charitable. I have Miami out of the dance, and the committee does too.
Longtime writer and broadcaster Richard Johnson on CBS Sports HQ. Here is how it looks in the top 10. Well, I'll read to the 12 since that's how many teams we've got. Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame. Great for Notre Dame. They don't play a conference championship, so they are likely to get a bye or at the very least get a team a game on their own field, which is cool. Georgia, the two-time defending champion at 5. Ohio State, Tennessee, SMU, Indiana, Boise State, Alabama, Miami. That's your top 12 right now. But we've got one more week and one more set of rankings to go. We're halfway through. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.